From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, November the 1st, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Friday, let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song. Sing it loud and sing it proud. Ah, yes, truly the sweetest sound this side of heaven. Let's get things officially started with
the Daily Datagram.
Yep, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. And this one comes to us from Albert Einstein, who said, an expert is a man that's made all the mistakes possible in a narrow field of expertise. Yep. So, be sure you choose your experts carefully.
I'm the devil.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
You're telling me?
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
So you do.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. I don't think that's happening. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1938. Seabiscuit defeated War Admiral in an upset victory during a match race deemed the match of the century in horse racing. Of course, calling it the match of the century in 1938 was a bit presumptuous, don't you think? I mean, especially when you consider that the end of the century was still 62 years away. And here's one that'll have you scratching your head. On this day in 1951, 6,500 U.S. Army soldiers were exposed to desert rock atomic explosions. Not one, but a couple of them for training purposes in Nevada. Participation, too, was not voluntary. They told you to go, you went. And a couple of decades later, there were some lawsuits.
There must be somebody I can sue.
Jacob Berg, writing in the Epoch Times, says that nearly half, let's be specific here, 48% of Gen Z voters and 23% of U.S. voters overall have lied about their voting preferences this year to people close to them. And this is according to a recent Axios Vibes survey conducted by the Harris Poll. The poll, which surveyed 1,858 registered voters online between October 22nd and 24th, found that 58% of overall voters say their preferences are a private matter, with 33% saying they aren't close to certain family members due to different political beliefs. Wow. Now, for Gen Z voters aged between 18 and 27, that number is 44%. And for millennials, those are people between 28 and 43, that number is 47%. Now, the survey found, and this is fascinating. I mean, the survey found that those who came of age during the Trump era are seemingly more sensitive to perceived social pressure and judgment from friends or family, which is understandable. I mean, you remember the incident where this poor guy was just, young fellow, was just sitting at a table in a Whataburger, and he was wearing a MAGA hat, and some other customer in the store came along and threw his drink at this poor kid. I mean, Trump supporters, particularly vocal Trump supporters, have faced all kinds of abuse, physical abuse. Remember the Red Hen restaurant over there in Maryland? Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her family were basically thrown out of the restaurant because they worked for Donald Trump. Wow. I don't like what we have become as a nation. I mean, it used to be that we could peacefully disagree with each other. And if you notice this, you probably have noticed this, that with all this division, this rampant division in our country, it's always, always the leftists who are physical about their disagreements with us. Always the leftists. You never see the conservatives attacking anybody. And this says a lot about the mentality of your average leftist. And these leftists, if you think things are bad right now, wait till after the election. Because if Donald Trump wins, the leftists are going to go nuts. I mean, already you've got people like this guy, Jimmy Raskin, the attorney, who's already lined up all of his ducks. He's got them all in a row. And if the election doesn't go their way, which it probably won't, they're going to litigate in hopes of getting a different outcome. That is the kind of a nation we have become, thanks to the leftists. We have become a banana republic. And, you know, look at the lawfare that's been executed against Donald Trump. How many indictments? 34? You know, it's just, it's bizarre. So, it's understandable why somebody would lie about their preference for political candidates. I mean, this is nuts. So, John Gerzema, who's the CEO of the Harris Poll, he says there's a new privacy emerging here where it's far more convenient to either lie or not talk about it. The new social etiquette is to be like Switzerland. Why do you want that heat? So among Generation X voters, those born between 1965 and 1980, 17% said they'd lied to someone close about who they were voting for this year, while 6% of those born before 1965 said the same. Another 22% of overall voters said they would potentially lie about their voting preferences this year. Yeah, here again, not hard to comprehend. Now, across the political spectrum, 27% of Democrats, 24% of Republicans, and 20% of independent voters said they've lied about who they're voting for. Now, the survey didn't ask respondents why they lied or to whom they'd lied. Now, this, I think his name is Gerzema. Anyhow, he said the toxicity of political polarization has pushed many Americans into self-censoring or lying about voter preferences to maintain social, familial, and workplace relationships. I like that. Self-censoring. I didn't lie. I self-censored. And those raised on smartphones tend to be more averse to social or workplace confrontations over things like politics and may lie about who they're voting for to avoid an awkward altercation. I've mentioned several times on much of these same blogcasts that I refuse to put a Trump sticker on my car. I don't want my car damaged. Now, the Axios Vibes survey also found that 30% of men had said that they lied about who they voted for, compared to 17% of women, suggesting that some could be silent supporters of either Trump or Harris amid social pressure to vote for either candidate. Here again, you have to understand that things would not be so volatile if it hadn't been for social media. Everybody's got a voice now. Unfortunately, I hate to say this, but when everybody has a voice, you've got a lot of people who shouldn't have a voice in there in the mix when it comes to these social media debates. Yeah. Everybody should have a voice. I meant that tongue in cheek, but you understand what I mean by that. You understand the context there. You've got a whack job living down the street, or somebody's crazy uncle who's been living in the attic gets on the computer and starts tapping away. And this volatility can very well be fueled by somebody's opinion, somebody who's a total whack job. But here again, in a free society, that's really the way it should be. Now, let's see what else we have here. The survey found 40% of voters said they're waiting until election day to vote in case there's a change in the final week, with 8% saying it would be a gut decision at the voting booth. Imagine that. Wow, 8%. Now, the economy remains the key concern among voters when choosing a candidate, naturally. According to a Gallup poll released October 9th, it shows that 52% of voters surveyed in the last 2 weeks of September said that the economy was extremely important when determining their choice for president, while another 38% saw it as very important. Sometimes I think the economy is the only issue, which of course it's not. We are right now on the threshold of World War III. Again, I say that if you want a clear grasp of what's going on politically with this country, and of course nothing happens in this country without things also reverberating around the world, right? I mean, we have the problems in the Middle East. We have an emboldened China now starting to rattle their sabers over things like Taiwan and bases that China has built in the Pacific. And they're trying to intimidate the world over there in China. And of course, now they have this alliance with Russia and North Korea. So things are very volatile. This is an extremely important election next Tuesday. Very important. And it doesn't affect just America. It affects the entire world. And Tulsi Gabbard, you listen to Tulsi Gabbard, she's got a clear handle on everything regarding the political situation where the world is concerned. And of course, right in the middle of it all, right in the hub of this sphere of politics in the world is the United States, because we're still regarded as the world's true superpower. And there are a lot of things that are being threatened with further power on the part of the Democrats. The nation's reserve, currency reserve, that's in danger now. It has been the dollar ever since day one. Well, may not be the case much longer. I don't know really what the Democrats are expecting to do, because everything they have done has been about destruction. They've destroyed our energy base. They've destroyed our economic base. They have destroyed our military base, you know, our military strength. They're trying to destroy our morals to the nth degree. I mean, look at some of the things they have been responsible for doing. You have school systems that are assisting elementary age kids in changing their sex, changing their gender, and trying to do it out of the view of that child's parents. Now, it's not that widespread, but the fact that it's happening at all in this country in this day and age is frightening. And they're going to continue to push these radical agendas. Your children are not yours. Your children belong to the state. This is the context of Democrat politics. Your children don't belong to you. And as much as the Democrats like to point at Donald Trump and call him Hitler, well, Donald Trump doesn't have a Hitler youth. It's the Democrats who do. The Democrats are trying to commandeer your children away from you. Now, Ronald Reagan got in trouble one time when he referred to the axis of evil. And that included Russia, China. Trying to remember, I think it was North Korea. Russia, China, oh, and Iran. Russia, China, and Iran. So the media came down on Ronald Reagan big time for that. Axis of evil. Well, you look back now from this standpoint, look back 40 years. It's almost 40 years. And wow, he was right. Here we are on the brink of World War III. We've got the Middle East blowing up. We've got Ukraine and Russia. That's still going. We've got China flexing their muscles. And then we have this alliance between Russia, China, Brazil. Brazil just recently went communist. So, and nobody's talking summits. or let's see if we can't defuse the situation. And the Democrats are firmly entrenched in the military-industrial complex. And they are going to fight as dirty as they have to retain power. And this is what we're up against in this election. So it's easy to understand why somebody would lie. Maybe one of your family members, certainly a coworker, a neighbor, would lie about who they intend to vote for or who they may already have voted for. Just for the record, I've already voted and I voted for Trump. Interesting article in The Blaze where aerospace technology is advancing at a mind-blowing rate with the advent of advanced artificial intelligence, AI. And it's expanded the possibilities that previously limited the defense industry. Now, the aerospace industry is moving to utilize physics in some mind-blowing manners. Got some of the latest aerospace and defense industry developments that have been revealed to the public. So, as you hear this, remember, this is the stuff they're revealing to the public. There's a lot of stuff they're not revealing to the public. That's the stuff I'd like to know about, naturally. But this tech is clearly still in the development or testing phase. Please understand that. But the fact that researchers are seriously discussing a nanotech material that can shapeshift is incredible. So let's start with one of the most bizarre examples, the Samurai UAV. First of all, what's a UAV? It's an unmanned aerial vehicle. Now, the Samurai UAV project produced a small UAV described as the world's first controllable robotic samurai monocopter. And this aircraft mimics the Samara, the tree seed with a wing like a helicopter in its design. You've seen those. Now, the Samurai copter is about 16 inches long and weighs less than a pound. And it can take off and land on the ground or be thrown into the air for takeoff. It also has a mounted camera which revolves at the same speed as the machine's rotation, allowing for a stable camera view on the controller, which is a tablet. Now, the design has a lot of promise for the future. Because its design is so robust and efficient, the Samurai's intended mainly for military surveillance and reconnaissance missions. And it's capable of carrying and dropping small payloads and can be inexpensively fabricated using a 3D printer. Now, if you want more details, you have to subscribe to The Blaze and, read the extended article, which is very interesting. But imagine this. Now, it's nice to know that we may be ahead of the game worldwide militarily, or when it comes to military technology, we usually are. We're usually the first on the block to have something. But please remember this. Whenever we develop something and we have it, it's just a matter of a couple of years, and our enemies have it as well. And this all started with the atomic bomb. We used the atomic bomb in 1945 to end World War II. That worked, but by 1946, the Russians had already tested an atomic weapon on their soil. So, I guess the key here is to be the first on the block in everything. I hope this isn't a tip of the iceberg kind of a thing, but Michigan officials have charged a non-U.S. citizen Chinese student for casting an illegal vote. And this happened at an early voting site in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on October 27th. We've got the Secretary of State there in Michigan, Jocelyn Benson, and Washtenaw County Prosecutor Eli Savitt issued a statement on October 30th, which was what, Wednesday? It says, only U.S. citizens can register and vote in our elections. It is illegal to lie on any registration forms or voting applications about one's citizenship status. Doing so is a felony. Well, if you ever get charged with something, you don't want it to be a felony, for sure. But a clerk had alerted officials about the illegal vote, leading to an investigation, of course, and the non-citizen was then charged with one count of unauthorized elector attempting to vote. And a count of perjury for making a false affidavit for the purpose of securing voter registration. Now, officials said this person, this non-citizen voting, was an extremely isolated and rare event. Well, I'm sure that's the case. But, I don't know, investigations in multiple states and nationwide have found no evidence of large numbers of non-citizens registering to vote. Now, just what constitutes a large number, I don't know. But even less common is a non-citizen actually casting a ballot. And when it does happen, the officials up there in Michigan say, we take it extremely seriously. Our elections are secure, and Michigan state and local election officials carefully follow the law. I'm sure they do. The officials noted that voting records are public, and any attempts by non-citizens to vote fraudulently will be exposed and fraudulent voters prosecuted. Well, Benson's office confirmed that the defendant is a Chinese national and student at the University of Michigan. He's 19 years old. He had registered to vote on Sunday. He established residency in Ann Arbor by using his student identification and other documentation. He also signed a document vouching for his supposed U.S. citizenship. So when I opened up here a few minutes ago saying, I hope this isn't a tip of the iceberg situation, you do recall the numbers that we quoted, last year, about all of the military-age Chinese nationals, male, who came across our open southern border. You see, I'm just putting two and two together here. That's all. Just putting two and two together. And what I seem to be getting is something like five or six, you know? Kind of frustrating. So that's what I meant when I said this looks like this might be, or I hope it isn't, a tip of the iceberg situation. Now, the student, it's important you know this. The student later contacted the city clerk's office and attempted to retract the illegal vote. According to Benson's office, and his ballot was already processed through the tabulator. Now, the Detroit News had reported that the illegal vote cast can't be retracted, as the vote tabulators don't track votes back to the individuals who cast them. Well, that's the whole premise upon which our voting system in this country was built. Secret ballot. So then there's Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, who also opened an investigation into the matter. And this is being done independently from Savitt's office. And this is the first year Michigan's offering early in-person voting. So it would stand to reason there's going to be a glitch or two, I suppose. A 2022 amendment to the state constitution made it so that Michigan voters now have the right to vote in person a minimum of 9 full days before any major election. I'm still wondering if that's such a good idea, this whole idea of early voting, because you get early returns then. And then the other side, actually both sides, can then try to stuff ballot boxes. I mean, this just kind of introduces a lot of corruption into the voting system. Now, there's a Republican Michigan representative by the name of John Molinar, who called on Benson to announce a plan to prevent similar election fraud in the next week and to secure our elections against CCP interference. So again, that's why I said, I hope this isn't the tip of an iceberg. So Molinar added, he says, the University of Michigan should expel this student for violating our laws, and our state's leaders need to take serious action against the Chinese Communist Party's attempts to influence our state. Amen to that, my friend. Kirsten Fleming, writing in the New York Post, says, it's politics 101. Do not hire an insult comic to perform at a rally in the waning days of the election. But the Trumposphere writes their own rules, at times to their own detriment. And booking Tony Hinchcliffe, the comedian whose particular skill is ruthlessly roasting anyone with a pulse, to perform at Sunday's Madison Square Garden rally was political malpractice. Now, Hinchcliffe's now infamous set included a joke where he called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. And, well, it's not good to offend an entire demographic of voters you're still trying to woo. And for the record, Puerto Ricans all over the country said, well, they took no offense. They considered the context in which the words were said. And, but, out of obligation, of course, the Trump camp distanced themselves from the line, and a report in the Bulwark said that the bit was ad-libbed. Okay, maybe so. But, you know, you have to really admire how the Trump camp has handled things, because Joe Biden was even further out of line when in his reaction to that performance, he called Trump supporters garbage. All Trump supporters garbage. So what's worse, the comedian who's known for just slamming anybody and everybody, that's what he does, that's his profession. He was even defended by none other than Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. But what Joe Biden did was much worse. And you really have to admire the response from the Trump camp. Because up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Donald Trump arrived in a garbage truck. And you've seen the photos. I think it was terrific what Trump did. I mean, he took a negative and turned it into an amazing positive. And here again, this is something Trump did that nobody's ever going to forget. He showed up in the iridescent yellow-green vest in a dump truck with a huge Trump campaign sign plastered on the side of the truck. And he just said, he pulled up in front of the media, "How do you like my garbage truck?" Boy, that's sharp. That's the man I want in the White House. Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner and Andy Forrester.
I love watching TV. I even watch commercials. I love commercials. I do. There's one on the radio near where I live. It's this attorney. And she says, "Call our law firm if you have been hurt or killed in an accident." I think she thought that went all the way through right there. I'm going to call her tomorrow, though. Be like, "Yeah, I got killed yesterday. Just trying to see how much money I can get before they bury me." It's weird. I love the radio. I do. I hear good stuff on the radio. I heard this awesome story. It's about this lady from Texas. She was born and raised in Texas. She went to go get her teeth fixed. And when she woke up out of the gas, she had a British accent. Which I think is pretty funny, that she went to get her teeth fixed and woke up with a British accent. There's one group of people that are rarely getting their teeth fixed. It's the British. But anyway, they interviewed the lady and she was like, "Everybody thinks I'm faking it, but I'm not. It's real. It's not my fault. I've never even left the country. All I did was go get my teeth fixed. They put me under. I woke up and I sound like this. And the dentist thinks it's not real. And my family think I'm faking it. And I'm not. It's real. It's not my fault." And here's the thing. It's a real thing. It's called foreign accent syndrome. And there's been a couple of hundred cases of it over the years. But every time it happens, it's always somebody waking up out of a coma or out of the gas. They've got like an Irish or a British or a Scottish accent. But you never hear some story about some dude over in England like falling and hitting his head. And then he wakes up and he's like, "Man, me and my mate Nigel, we's walking our pet poodle Beef Wellington. Dang, if that dog didn't wander right in front of me, I fell and tripped and hit my head. I woke up later and I sound like this. I ain't never been to South Carolina before, man. This is dumb. It matches these teeth, but this is stupid, man. I ordered my fish and chips the other day and I ordered them scattered and smattered and covered and smothered and topped and chopped. I don't know what I was doing, man, but it's delicious. I actually got a hankering to go to Talladega the other day. I don't know what a hankering is, nor Talladega. I'm about to lose my dang job. I'm a brain surgeon."
Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time this weekend just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it? That's it?